I will bless the Lord who giveth me counsel. My heart teacheth me night after night. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not fear. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. A lesson from the book of Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you.
A lesson from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Here ends the lesson.
Defend us from all perils and dangers of this.
In the name of God, who is creating, redeeming, and sustaining, amen. Earlier this week, I went to dinner with one of my best girlfriends, and halfway through the meal, I looked up and saw what I thought was a familiar face. But I thought surely it couldn't be a familiar face because the person I thought I recognized, I was pretty sure lived in Texas. And so I spent the next 5 minutes kind of peering around. Is that her? I think I went to school with her. I'm not sure. Finally, I pulled out my phone and I found that, lo and behold, she had moved to Atlanta. And it was exactly who I thought it was, but I still wasn't 100% sure. So we finished dinner, and then I walked over to her table and said her name, and then she said, oh, I was looking at you, trying to figure out if you were Lauren. I didn't know you lived in Atlanta. I thought you were still in New York. And so we had been having the same conversation with our friend and partner, and lo and behold, we did. It was exactly who we thought it was. And then she said, oh, and, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so also live here, and recalled two other friends of ours. And I left the restaurant thinking, oh, I can't wait to get together with them. I just want to get together for coffee and find out what's going on in their lives. And then I suddenly had this memory of, these were friends from college, of how I felt in college, that I had these friends that were so special and dear, and yet I didn't really feel like I belonged to anyone. I never really felt like I fit in. I can recall my senior year of college, a classmate had died, and I was singing at his funeral. And his parents had asked three different people to come and speak, his girlfriend and two of his best friends. And I remember watching that and thinking, man, my parents wouldn't know who to ask. They wouldn't know who, because I would not have a best friend that would come. But the place would be packed because I knew all of these people. I had all these different groups that I felt connected to, but I belonged to no one. I never had that real deep sense of connection. And so I was excited to see my friend, but I also felt this sense of mourning, remembering that I didn't have that when I was in school. And I have it now. I'm so grateful that I have it now, these people that I belong to. But I didn't have it then. I imagine that you have felt times when you weren't sure that you belonged, or you weren't sure who you belonged to. And I think that our readings for today have a lot to say about that, because we belong to God. We belong to God. One of my favorite priest friends from a previous parish always would say in like every third sermon, remember who you are and whose you are. Remember who you are and whose you are. And those two things really are intricately intertwined. If you know who you are, you have a better sense of whose you are. And if you know whose you are, you have a better sense of who you are. And baptism says a lot about that. Our readings say a lot about that. So I want to look at Isaiah. I actually brought it up. We're going to do a little Bible study here. And the opening line says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. Did you know that God delights in you? Did you know that God delights in you? And then, just so that you know who it is that delights in you, God goes on to say who God is. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth. Now, in the Hebrew scriptures, whenever you put heaven and earth together, it means all with a capital A-L-L, because there would be gods of the sea and gods of the sky and gods of the earth. But if this was the God of heaven and earth, then it was the God of all. And this This is the God who calls you and who delights in you, whose soul delights in you. And it's this God that says that I have taken you by the hand and kept you. And then God says, I am the Lord. That is my name. It's really important that we know whose we are. Whose we are. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to other, nor my praise to idols. Now the word glory, what is it that gives God glory? It's you being exactly who God created you to be. Irenaeus says, the glory of God is the human person fully alive. The glory of God is the human person fully alive. And when we try to fit in and be something that we are not, that's not belonging. That is praising other idols. It's allowing ourselves to be measured by something other than who God created us to be. Now, you can imagine that a person in their early 20s in college, that's a typical time to kind of wonder who you are and be figuring out who you are. But it's not the only time we do that. We may wonder who we are when we become a parent. We may wonder who we are when we retire from our jobs. We may wonder who we are when we receive a diagnosis. We may wonder who we are when we lose a loved one. These are all times when we kind of question, who am I in this moment? What is my identity? And it's in those moments where we can go back to whose we are. When we are wondering who we are and we are trying to remember who we are, we can remember our baptism. We can remember that God's soul delights in us. We can remember that we are called by God and created by God in the image of God, who is a loving God and loves you so much. So that is my invitation for you this week, to remember who you are and whose you are. And on the days when you are feeling a little unsettled in your own skin, or in the moments when you are feeling really nervous about something that you're about to have to do, then say, I'll give the example, I am Lauren Elizabeth Robbins Holder, and I am a child of God. And just let that be your starting place, except use your own name. But remember who you are and whose you are, and may that be a blessing to you. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to the Most High. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Robert, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of God. Pray that they may find and be found by God. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have the grace to glorify Christ in our own day. Let us pray. Almighty God, who hast given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication unto thee, and hast promised through thy well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, thou wilt be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin by thanking Andrew Scanlon for the phenomenal recital that preceded this service. I don't know if you were able to hear that, but the last piece was my favorite. I'll also confess that it was the only one that I listened to the whole thing because it was running back and forth, but it was phenomenal. And so we are always so blessed by beautiful music here, both by our guests that come, but also by our very own Scola, who is just doing a marvelous job back there. So thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Looking ahead, we have an event, Cathedral Giving by Design, that is coming up. It used to be the Cathedral Antique Show for 50 grand years. And now the new iteration of that is Cathedral Giving by Design. And there's a party and there's a tour of homes. And so the first thing I want to say is please buy tickets, because the tickets that you buy go to all to a great cause, the Women's Resource Center, which helps women that are getting out of domestic abuse situations. And so I would encourage you to buy tickets and help this wonderful cause. But also, they need some volunteers, specifically at the tour of homes. And what sounds more fun than standing in a really lovely home and getting to welcome people into that space and be part of this mission to help the Women's Resource Center. So buy your tickets and or please volunteer. If you have questions about how to volunteer, just ask me after the service. Also, we have a grief group that is coming up. These are in partnership with Hospice Atlanta. And we have these six-week intensive groups where a group stays together and walks through this grief process. And so another one of those groups is starting up January 29th. And it's specifically for people who have lost a loved one sometime in the past year or two. So we hope that if that is you, that you will avail yourself of that community and that it will be something that blesses you, and know that you would be a blessing to that group. After we finish the evensong part of the service, there is a Eucharist. And it's much more pleasant for me if you move up a little closer so that I can feel your presence. So when the choir processes out, I invite you to process forward for communion, and we will have a feast together. Thank you.